This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. On this snowy winter day in Boston, we thought we'd take a trip back to a warmer time in the city, back to the Boston Calling Music Festival held on City Hall Plaza in early September. One of the New England bands that performed that weekend was Deer Tick, which got its start in Providence in 2004. Before the festival, we invited the band to come play for us, and we got a live performance right here in the Radio Boston studio by John McCauley, the band's singer and songwriter, and guitarist Ian O'Neill. So today, to remind our listeners that there was a time not so long ago when Boston City Hall Plaza wasn't blanketed in snow, we're listening to that interview again. Here's the song The Dreams in the Ditch from Deer Tick's album Negativity.
Well, the dream's in the ditch. Now the kids are all pissed, but it's not new to hate what they make you do. First they pull all your teeth, then they'll want you to eat. Well, let go of it, kid, you don't want any part in it. But it's not the way you can't afford your time, or the envy of the friends you left behind. So whenever you go, they can have everything you lose. Is this it? This is it. And they paid you to scream, but it buried your dream. So you wait for the pain that'll sing you to sleep again. Now you walk with your wounds like you got nothing to lose. Act like you don't care while you pray for a cross to bear. But it's not the way you can't afford your time, or the envy of the friends you left behind. So whenever you go, they can have everything you lose. Is this it? This is it. Your time, or the envy of the friends you left behind. So whenever you go, they can have everything you lose. This is it. Is this it?
That's John McCauley and Ian O'Neill of the band Deer Tick. John and Ian, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I think that song is not only really beautiful, but it also has the kind of lyrics that you really kind of hang on every word, because you can tell there's something really deep and a real deep story going on there. And John McCauley, I found a quote from you. I can't tell you where it came from or how old it is.
I probably can't either.
But you were talking about your songwriting, or you were asked about your songwriting. And you said that at least when you began the band, songwriting was an experimentation in creative writing for myself, paired with being an incredibly depressed teenager. You said, through my knack for writing, I was able to turn simple things and simple breakups into these elaborate stories. And in fact, someone has described your songwriting as sort of confessional. But it made me think that whatever struggles you had as a teenager, you were able to turn it into this incredible skill that's become quite a band.
Thank you. And, you know, it was fun being a projectionist, but I'm glad I'm not a projectionist anymore. You know, this is a pretty good job. So. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's weird. I don't. If I try to actually write anything kind of linear, like, I'm no novelist or anything like that, you know. So this kind of writing my songs thing works out well for me. I don't. But I don't sit around and try to write. I don't really exercise myself as a writer. I kind of wait until, you know, something hits me. And then, yeah, usually if I don't get to a pen and paper in time, it's gone forever.
So you keep a notepad by your bed at night?
Well,
you have a cell phone now, too.
Yeah. You type it into your iPhone.
That's what
notes.
I do.
I'm guilty of doing that. Yeah.
John, when you said projectionist, I don't know enough about your background to know whether you were meant that literally you were a projectionist.
Oh, yeah.
Or you mean you no longer project as much in your songs about what you're feeling. Were you actually a projectionist?
I'm talking about the movies.
That used to be how you made a living.
That was.
So what is the story behind the song you just played for us, The Dreams in the Ditch?
Well, I guess it's worth noting that I don't always write the songs and I don't always sing the lead vocals, and that's Ian's song.
Yeah, so. I did that one.
So tell us about that one.
I guess that song kind of came at a time probably in between tours of our last album, and it was kind of feeling run down, I guess, and kind of feeling like our band maybe was stalling and we were exhausting ourselves too much. So I kind of just... It's definitely a kind of a hopeless song.
Yeah, you hear it. You keep saying, is this it?
Yeah, you know.
Usually people think that when they're in their 40s.
I often feel like I'm a lot older than I am, to remind myself. I'm only 25.
Oh.
I guess I kind of just... I tend to write about things that I'm around all the time, and we're around each other all the time. So it's either my girlfriend or our hopeless state. Yeah, or my best friends and how much I don't want to disappoint them, you know.
Uh-huh. Would you each tell us a little bit about your musical backgrounds? How early in your lives did you start making music or singing or writing songs?
I wrote my first song when I was about 3 with my grandmother. It was called You Can't Eat Candy in the Morning.
Apparently this is a way to teach you a lesson in a creative way.
But I didn't start playing until... I started playing drums when I was 10. And then I started playing bass when I was 11, which I had a full-scale bass, which just looks hilarious when an 11-year-old is holding it. And then I started playing guitar and piano... maybe around the time I was like 14, because I was trying to start bands as a bass player, but I didn't like any of the guitar players that I would play with, so I thought I could do it better. And
self-taught.
Turns out I was wrong, but but I'm more comfortable on the guitar now.
But you taught yourself. You just picked it up and started playing.
Yeah, I only took. I took lessons for bass, I don't know. It was just kind of like college kids teaching me, you know, like making a little extra cash on the side. So I took a lot of bass lessons,
some learning, shoddy courses.
Learning Zeppelin songs and stuff from some stoner Rhode Island college students.
And Ian, what about you?
I guess I made my parents rent me a guitar instead of playing hockey like my brother when I was probably like 10 or 11. And I don't think I also took lessons, but I, you know, was learning Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I thought that was pretty disappointing. So I guess I just let my influences like Nirvana try and teach me how to play guitar, which didn't really work out that well. When it came time to actually know how to play chords, I had to basically relearn. So I didn't really make any real strides until the past, like, 5 or 6 years.
Did you rent the guitar rather than buy it because you weren't sure you were all totally committed?
My parents weren't sure. I mean, I would love to have gotten, you know, like a Fender Jaguar from the 60s, which is what I was eyeballing at the guitar shop at the time. But they were like, no, you're going to get this pawn shop guitar that we'll rent for $5 a week.
Would you guys play us another song from the album coming up? And you pick which one you think we'd like to hear.
Sure. I'm going to do one called Mr. Sticks. I must warn you, there is a note in this song that I only hit about half of the time. So I'm gonna reach for it. We'll see what happens. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep it shallow, yeah, keep it narrow. Come and see the ugly things that life can bring. I'm out of my skull. Yeah, my head is dull. Waiting for a date and a claim to stake. Oh, Mr. Sticks, with a hug and a kiss, you may say goodbye to all you've ever known. Oh, Mr. Mist, with a life like this, oh, the light that's at the end is the star of the show. A baby cries and an old man dies. You cross your fingers tight and you freeze time. The son gives his hand, the daughter gives her hand. Will you see the change in the world for your littlest girl? Oh, Mr. Sticks, a life like this, done say goodbye to all you've ever known. Oh, Mr. Mist, with a hug and a kiss, oh, the light that's at the end is the star of the show. If my heart goes for my lungs blow, I could see a sudden match until it did. Oh, Mr. Sticks, with a hug and a kiss, you may say goodbye to all you've ever known. Oh, Mr. Mist, how's your life like this? Oh, the light that's at the end is the star of the show. Oh, the light that's at the end is the star show.
That's singer John McCulley and guitarist Ian O'Neill of the band Deer Tick performing Mr. Sticks off their album Negativity. Also really beautiful and really soulful. Thank you for singing that for us.
Thanks. I pretty much got that note.
I think you did about hit it. I liked how you hit it.
Close enough. The
name of the album, Negativity, seems pretty blunt and straightforward. And Ian, you referenced earlier that the song where one of the lyrics says, "Is this it?" It was sort of a rough time for you guys in the band. To whatever degree you're comfortable talking about it, can you talk about some of the things that happened that made you decide we're going to do an album called Negativity?
Take this one.
I guess before the whole album was written, I just thought Negativity would be a kind of bold and kind of funny title for an album. I thought it would be cool if that was like a title track, so I tried to write a song called Negativity, but our producer thought it was garbage. Not really. He kept saying it's not done yet. The song's not there, so we moved on to do other things. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of tongue in cheek. I mean, the album certainly does deal with a lot of, I guess, negative subject matter, but it's just, I mean, it's supposed to be kind of goofy, and like when you see the artwork, it's I think it becomes a little bit more apparent, I guess.
What is the artwork? I don't think I've seen it.
It's a bright blue sky with a little airplane towing a banner that says negativity in bright red letters.
So a happy picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your debut album was called War Elephant. This was 2007? That's when it came out, I believe?
It actually came out in 2006.
Was it 2006?
It was reissued by Partisan Records in 2007.
Yeah. And that had songs that sort of confronted problems involving women and alcohol. So it seems like you don't shy away from substantial issues. I mean, talk about that evolution a little, I guess.
Well, it starts with alcohol and trying to have a relationship. And then it turns into hard drugs and one-night stands, I guess. That's the evolution. I was extra naive, I guess, 10 years ago or whatever. And I must have been a really dumb boyfriend, I was about as dumb of a boyfriend as I was dumb as a drinker, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, that's a theme that kind of continued in my life on and off stage. I'm in a much happier place, and I'm not so dumb anymore.
We're glad to hear it. And, you know, I think at least reflecting on how you used to be is great progress, right? You've gained some wisdom in the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird now. I'm going to have to start writing love songs, I guess. I'm running out of stuff.
Yeah. Would you guys play us out on another song of your choice?
Sure. I'm going to do one just by myself here. It's called Just Friends. When you stare from across the room, I can't tell if you're looking at me or just looking through. The others celebrate the end of the work week, but it's Tuesday for me and you. To say that we're just friends would never do us justice. We're a couple of gems swept into the dustbin. We're more than just dreamers when we ourselves believe it. We have the rest of our lives. Just gotta reach out and steal it. Ooh, you're sending me up the river, and I can't seem to remember. You said you just needed a friend, just a friend. Speak, are you holding back? It's all I've asked between now and the past. Oh, I'd love to hear you answer that. I'll turn on the lights and we'll say our goodnights, though they're not good enough to last. While I'm tossing and turning, babe, is your love burning? Have we laid it to rest? Are we really just friends? Are we really just friends?